ओमज्ञानचिनिरं हस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाक चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Psychology and psychoanalysis has been developed from the original work in this field by Freud and Jung, which they analyze why people do what they do, why they think what they think. Freud has analyzed that everything is based on desire, which is ultimately sex desire. It's a very complex science. In the Vedic literature also, such analysis is given. Maybe not so complex, because the basic principles are given. And there's no real need to go very deeply, because instead of analyzing and cross-analyzing and reanalyzing and from different points of view why people do what they do, rather it's given what they should do according to the rules of karma. There's not that much need to analyze and cross-analyze people's motives and intentions, and simply that we should understand that for every action we get a reaction, therefore we should follow the path of karma, and ultimately we should come to Parodharma, the highest religious process, which is to surrender to Krishna. Now here we see in this verse that Yudhishthira Maharaj is, so to speak, giving a psychological analysis of Krishna, who is not understandable. Even to understand the tiny jiva is not very easy to understand. Sometimes we may know a person for many years and then we find out, well, we don't really understand them at all. They act in a way which we didn't think. Sometimes you hear that someone, he pulls out a machine gun and shoots 20 people dead. It happens from time to time, every month or so, in America. And then people, they'll interview people who knew him and they said, well, I never thought he'd do something like that. He was just a nice person. I never guessed he could do, or they discover that someone's a murderer. He's been murdering people every month. He murders one or two people for the last 20 years and people are shocked. Oh, seemed just like an ordinary, nice person. He didn't know he was going out and slitting people's throats. We would have never guessed. So even to understand an ordinary person, it may not be very easy. And what to speak of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yudhishthira Maharaj can understand Krishna to some extent, because he is his devotee. And actually, although Krishna, he may appear in some ways to be a very complex personality, at the same time, basically, he's a very simple person. Krishna is very complex. I mean, we've heard about split personalities, but Krishna, he expands himself as Ram, Nrsimha, Varaha, Vamana. He really is a split personality. He's the same person, but with many different personalities. However, every one of his personalities is very pleasing. And not actually split. This idea of a split personality or a schizophrenia, the idea is that they think and act, even though they're the same person, they think and act in very different ways at different times. However, Krishna, even though he manifests many different personalities, and even within the same personality, we find in the Nectar Devotion, it's analyzed that there are different traits of Krishna's personality, Dhiradatta, Dhira Lalita, different Dhira Shanta, there's one other, what's the other? Dhira Datta. So there are different traits of Krishna's personality and they appear to be contradictory. But everything is possible in Krishna. But basically, Krishna, even though he takes many forms, just I think, Was it 2 days ago they were celebrating the what they call Hanuman Jayanti, which is not actually Jayanti, but the appearance of Hanuman. Yesterday, was it? So, that Hanuman, he said, Srinathe Janakinathe Abheda Paramatmani Tasmat Mama Sarva Svam Rama Kamalalochana. That even though I know Srinath, Lord Vishnu, and Janakinath, Lord Ram, are one Abheda Paramatmani, they are one and the same undivided personality of Godhead, still my all in all is Lord Ram. Not Srinath, Janakinath. I like Janakinath. Similarly, we see the gopis, when they were searching for Krishna, Krishna left them to, when he called them to the forest, he left them in the forest of Vrindavan, and they were searching for him, and they saw him hiding in one grove, and Krishna thought, I'll play a trick with him. So he put on two more hands, and he showed a four-handed form of Narayana. So they saw him, Narayana, 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 Om Namo Narayanaya. Dear Narayana, we have one request of you. Can you tell us where is Krishna? So, different devotees are attracted to different forms of the Lord, and even the forms of the Lord, they may appear to be quite different. Just like we know that Lord Ram is known as Maryada Purushottam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who maintains the proper behavior according to sadharan dharma, ordinary worldly activities. But Krishna, he is known as Lila Purushottam, who performs wonderful pastimes, even more wonderful than those of Lord Ram. Or Prem Purushottam, the Supreme Lord, who is simply concerned with Prem, love at its highest level. So Krishna apparently doesn't follow Maryada. For instance, he dances with others' wives. But that is Prem Maryada. That is on a different level altogether. So although Krishna may appear to be in his different manifestations, and even in the same manifestation, because Krishna, he is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, but his relationship with them as son is different to that of the son. He's also the son of Nanda and Yashoda. But his relationship with Devaki and Vasudeva is touched by the feeling of awe and reverence. So it's not as free as that of Nanda and Yashoda. So Krishna appears to be a very complex personality. Although he loves the inhabitants of Vrindavan more than his own life, still he leaves them. He promises to come back, but he keeps them waiting till they're almost dead. So Krishna appears to be very complex, but basically, as Yudhishthira Maharaj is pointing out here, the complexity is actually not very complex, it's very simple. In all his different manifestations, the Supreme Lord simply acts out of love for all living beings, and particularly for his devotees. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho srinathriyah ye bhajanti tumam bhakta mai te teshu chapyaham. What Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying here today mirrors that which Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, that I favor no one, I am envious to no one, I'm equal to all, but those who approach me in love, I reciprocate with them, particularly in the same way. Now, this very statement appears to be contradictory, but Yudhishthira Maharaj points out how it's not. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur analyzes that in the first two lines where he says, I'm equal to all, Krishna is speaking as the Paramatma manifest. This is the role of the Paramatma, who is equal to all. But Krishna, see, Paramatma, the devotees, they don't approach Paramatma, although he's the Supreme Lord, they don't approach him particularly in a loving relationship, but more so they approach Krishna, who's not different from the Paramatma. So these things may be a little difficult to understand. But Krishna, in his original form, is more concerned with exchanging love with his devotees. And Paramatma, in his Paramatma form, he's managing the universe. And he's also overseeing everything everyone does. Upadrashtanu mantha cha bhartha bhukta maheshwaraha paramatmeti yityukta dehi svim purusha paraha. He's the same Supreme Lord, he's within everyone's heart, but he's seeing what they do. And he's allowing them to do what they do. He's the Supreme Controller. So that is his role, and he also accepts worship from others. But when the question of love is there, then Krishna, particularly, Prem Purushottam, he is the form who is to be loved. So the last two, the second two lines of this verse in Bhagavad Gita, Yeva Janti Tumam Bhakta Maite Teshu Chakyam, but whoever approaches me in love, I reciprocate with them. This is particularly spoken by Krishna. So Krishna is equal to all, but he particularly reciprocates with his devotees. Is this contradictory? Apparently so, but not, because everyone is welcome to be Krishna's devotee. He doesn't bar anyone from being his devotee. There's no bar on that. The only bar or the only obstacle is our own sinful activities, our own sinful disposition. Krishna is not stopping us from loving him. But we ourselves are declining to love Krishna. That is the problem. Krishna has no such feeling that I like only the Brahmins, or I like only the Hindus, or I like the Tamils. Krishna has no such feeling. Krishna is equal to everybody. Mahi Pathavya Pashrutya Yepi Su Papa Yoniha Striya Vaishasu Gras Tipiyanti Dim. Krishna says, anyone who worships me, they may from the material point of view be apparently disqualified from doing so due to having taken birth in a sinful condition or being striya. Women, there are certain restrictions. They cannot perform worship in the same way as men. They're not allowed to. Traditionally, they're not allowed to worship in public temples. They can worship at home, but they have certain periods when they're not allowed to even come in public, let alone worship the Lord. And traditionally, according to Shastra, they're considered less intelligent because that body tends to bring with it attachment to home, family, children, and all these things which are obstacles. They can be obstacles in Bhagavad Bhakti. But Krishna says that they worship me, they can also come to me. And Vaishya means also generally not very elevated consciousness, especially if they're engaged in business. Then they're always thinking of money. And Shudra means Shochati Iti Shudraha. Those who are always lamenting, they're called Shudras. And apart from that, Shudras, they're not allowed to study the Vedic literatures. So there are many restrictions on them. They're generally not considered to be of higher consciousness, and it's considered a lower birth. However, Krishna says, if they worship me with devotion, I accept their devotion and they can come to me. It's not that you have to take birth. Krishna doesn't say that those who are Shudras, they have to take birth again as a Brahmana and then they can come to me. There's no such thing. But if they worship me, they can directly come to me. What to speak of Shudras, even you see in the history of India, there are so many people born in Muslim families who are great devotees. In our Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, the Nama Acharya, the one who is to teach everyone else, including Brahmanas, what are the glories of the Holy Name. And there are others in Orissa. It's very famous, the name of Salabeg, who was the son of an abducted Hindu princess abducted by a Muslim. So he was born a Muslim. He was a great devotee of Jagannath, whose name is very famous, even now. Even in our Sampradaya, Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, they were so much associated with Muslims that their names have become Dabir Khas and Sakhar Malik. So, practically, it's understood that practically they've become Muslims in many ways. It seems like it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted them. Oh, you are great. You are my servants, life after life. He accepted them. So Krishna is Prem Purushottam. He is the Supreme Lord who is particularly interested with love. All the forms of the Lord, they are simply meant for reciprocating love with the devotees. But other avatars, they may also have some business concerning the maintenance of the universe. This is the job of Vishnu. So they do this. They do this and simultaneously they reciprocate loving affairs with their devotees. Just like Vamanadeva. He had some business in this world to protect the universe or save the demigods whose position had been taken over by the demons headed by Bali Maharaj. So in the course of restoring the heavenly planets to the demigods, he also had some loving exchanges with his devotees headed by Bali Maharaj, particularly with Bali Maharaj. Now Krishna also, he was called at that time, Bhumi Devi was lamenting and Brahma came to the shore of the milk ocean and asked that you please come to this world for the sake of, again the demons are causing a problem. We're very proud but of being great demigods, but when things really get tough then we have to call for Lord Vishnu. So we're calling for you. Sorry we forgot you all these days, but anyway, we're your devotees and why don't you come and save us again? So he came as Krishna. But actually Krishna, he is the original personality of Godhead from Golok Vrindavan. And he has no particular interest in maintaining the unit. Interest means his interest is there, but in this form, in the original form of Krishna, he doesn't do such things. That is Vishnu. He does. Vishnu is the maintainer of the universe. So Krishna comes and his main activities are simply enjoying exchanges of love with his devotees. But in doing so, he also kills various demons. In this way he shows to his devotees that, yes, I am your protector. You're taking shelter of me, I'm protecting you. So in this way the demons, they also have some role to play in Krishna's pastime. But actually killing the demons is not Krishna's main interest. Krishna's main interest is simply to exchange loving affairs. Simply to exchange love with his devotees. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is pointing this out. Now Krishna, he's always very kind. He's not against anybody. When we analyze the psychology of an ordinary person, we'll find that they have friends and enemies. But Krishna has no friends and enemies. Here, this chapter is titled The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha. So Krishna, through the agency of Bhim, he killed Jarasandha. But actually he has no envy towards Jarasandha. He's simply acting in a manner which is most beneficial for him. Krishna doesn't force anybody to do anything. He may submit them to various conditions, But he doesn't force that you now you love me. Then that's not love. But if someone is so much against the principle of loving Krishna, then Krishna may give him mercy in such a way that he may also come to that position. Extreme measures. Just like we hear that Kamsa and others, Kamsa was killed directly by Krishna. Even though he was extremely sinful, he had killed so many brahmanas and cows and others, young children, extremely sinful person. But Krishna gave him the position of sarupya mukti, to get the position of having the same form as the Lord. That means he went to the Vaikuntha planets. Now it would seem that Kamsa had no sense, he had no interest to be a devotee of Krishna. He was an extremely sinful person. If Krishna had tried speaking Bhagavad Gita to Kamsa, he wouldn't have even started listening. He would have called the gods, kill him. He wasn't a good candidate to listen to Bhagavad Gita. Why did Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? Bhaktosi me sakha chaiti rahasyam hiyatarutamam. I'm speaking this to you, Krishna, Arjuna, because you are my devotee. And you're my friend. But Kamsa wasn't a devotee, he was a non-devotee. And he had taken the position of enemy to Krishna. Although actually no one can be an enemy to Krishna, for two reasons. One, because Krishna loves everybody. Another reason, you can't actually be an enemy of someone who is on a completely different level to you. If just like we say a political enemy, well, you can't. You see, if someone is running to for the panchayat chief in one village. So he can't say that I'm a political enemy of A.B. Vajpayee. He may be in a different party, but he can't be a political enemy because he's in a completely different level. He may be the political enemy of Vajpayee's representative if BJP are running in the same panchayat. Do you get the point? But he can't say I'm a political enemy. He's not fit to be an enemy. He's too small time to be an enemy of the Prime Minister. So in the same way, no one can actually be the enemy of Krishna. Kamsa, he thought, Krishna is my enemy. But actually he's not fit to be the enemy because he's too small. Krishna takes a position as if he is on the level by which he can be made an enemy of. And he goes to Vrindavan, he tells Vasudeva, now you take me away from here, as if he's afraid of Kamsa. He runs away from the battlefield as if he's afraid of Jarasandha. But actually these people, you see Jarasandha, when Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima came, they came as brahmanas because they knew that Jarasandha, he likes to give charity to brahmanas. He's a pious person in that respect. So they came dressed as brahmanas and looking for charity. But Jarasandha said, "You don't look like brahmanas to me. They look like very big, strong kshatriyas. And they've got very deep, commanding voices, just like kshatriyas, not humble voices like brahmanas. What's more, they've got marks on their shoulders from holding the quivers of arrows, just like kshatriyas. What's more, I think I've seen them somewhere before. I can't quite place it now. But anyway, they've come as brahmanas, and it's my vow to give charity to brahmanas. And even if they are kshatriyas, they've come to me begging, so they've degraded themselves. So anyway, I'll give them what they want. What do you want?" So Krishna said, "Well, let's be honest now. Actually, we're not brahmanas. This is Bhim, this is Arjun, and I am your old enemy, Krishna." So Krishna accepted, "I am your enemy." Even though no one can be the enemy of Krishna. But he came down to the position of begging. If he wants to Rasa, he doesn't even have to go all the way to Rajgriha, which is now Rajgir in Bihar, still Bihar, I think. It must be still Bihar. Or maybe it's Jharkhand now, I'm not sure. So anyway, Magad, that's the capital of Magad. So they're making some yukti, some plans, how to overcome Jarasandha, just by thinking Krishna can kill him. But he takes a position as if in fear, I am your enemy. Then Jarasandha laughs, aha, you want to fight? Ha. So, who will fight with him? Arjuna's just a young boy. He's not fit to fight with you. And Krishna, how can I fight with you? You see, you're already a coward. You ran away from me in the battlefield. And you're a sinful person. I don't even want to touch you. You see, you killed your own matula, your maternal uncle, not considering that Kamsa himself had killed so many of his own relations. So I don't want to touch you, Krishna. I'll become contaminated. So he said, I'll fight with thee. So Krishna becomes as if an enemy. He takes an apparently inferior position. Although actually no one can be the enemy to Krishna. It's all his fun. It's another kind of fun for Krishna. When all the demons become very big, and then the demigods, I'm Indra, I'm Chandra, I'm Surya. Okay, let's go and fight with the demons. No problem, I'm Indra, I've got the thunderbolt. And then, for instance, I go to fight with Vidrasura, no problem, no problem. Then Vidrasura simply swallows the thunderbolt. And then, oh, wait a minute, there is a problem. Okay, let's go and see Lord Vishnu. So, from time to time, Lord Vishnu comes and he plays his play. But actually no one can be an enemy to Krishna. Then it may be said no one can be a friend to Krishna. Well, that's also true, in one sense. That Arjuna, he thought that, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi, oh Krishna, oh Yadava, I used to call you, so I used to call you Yadava. See, I'm a Pandava, you're a Yadava, we are higher caste than you. Yadava. You're just Yadu dynasty, you're the Pandu dynasty. We are the kings of the earth. So, no one can become the friend of God. He's too great. But actually, Krishna wants everyone to be his friend, because he also has that quality. He's extremely great. So much so, it's not possible to imagine. But he's also a living being. He also has the propensity to love. And therefore, Krishna himself, he's not very much interested in being great. Although he's great, he's not so much interested. But he's more interested in the loving exchanges with his devotees. For this reason, Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience what is this love of Krishna. Why are all these devotees crazy after me? Must be something good about me, even though I mistreat them in so many ways, but still they love me so much. There must be something wonderful about love of Krishna. But I'm Krishna, so I can't experience it. So alright, I'll become non-Krishna. Krishna can't become non-Krishna, but he becomes Radha Bhava Dhyuti Subhalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupa. He is Krishna, but he accepts the bodily luster and feelings of Srimati Radharani just to taste what is the nectar of Krishna. He takes a different position. So this is particularly exemplified in the Rathyatra festival, where Krishna is present as Jagannath, and he's also present as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Jagannath, he is the Supreme Lord Krishna. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the same Supreme Lord Krishna, tasting the nectar of what it is to love Krishna. So it's a very deep and mysterious pastime. Practically, the Rathyatra festival is the culmination of everything in existence, because it is the pastime of Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, capturing Krishna by love and forcing him to come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing, but actually he's bringing Krishna under control and bringing him away from his opulent position in Dwarka. This is a very complex and very esoteric subject described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing Krishna under his control by love. So Krishna is the supreme great, supremely powerful, but he is brought under control by the love of his devotees. This is exemplified in the Rathyatra festival. This is actually the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the greatness of Krishna. We have to hear what is the greatness of Krishna, because we're such fools that we think, I am great. And as long as we think, I am great, then we cannot begin to appreciate Krishna. So first of all, we have to have that drilled into our consciousness and 1,000 and 1,000,000 times, that I am not God. And we're such fools, we're thinking like that. And then, having understood, when we finally understood, you see, all this time we're being taught that we're the servants of Krishna. When we finally understand that we are the eternal servant of Krishna, then we can begin to develop our love for Krishna to the extent that Krishna will become the servant of the devotee, if one actually becomes so much advanced in Krishna consciousness. So in the beginning, and on and on and on, we're simply taught that we're the servants of Krishna. And then when we finally understand that, and then we say, okay, whatever you understood there, that's true. But now, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing with Ramanandara, Eho Bhajyo, anything except servitude, pure devotion to Krishna, he rejected. This is external. But then, when he came to the point, when Ramanandara came to the point of describing pure unalloyed devotional service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, that's all right. Up to now, he was saying, Eho Bhajyo Age Kahoa. This is external, now say something more. But when Ramananda Rai came to the point of pure unmotivated devotional service to Krishna, then Ramananda Rai said, this is correct. Eho hoi, age kaha, but stay some more. That's correct, but there's more to it than this. So, servitude to Krishna, that is the beginning. And when one becomes so much advanced in love, then Ramananda Rai described what is love in Sakya Ras. What is that verse? Dasana Bhutya. Navatara Kena. Dasana Bhutya Navatara Kena. I'm just forgetting the verse. Who is conceived of as the impersonal Brahman by the yogis? Who is considered the Lord and Master by the devotees? That the cowherd boys were playing with Krishna. So they'd gone beyond the platform of awe and reverence. They were playing with Krishna, sometimes jumping on his back, sometimes stealing his lunchbox, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked that. Eho hoy, age kaha. This is very good. But say some more. Then he told the about Nanda and Yashoda, the parental love of Krishna, by which Nemambarincho Nababo Nashya Rapyanga Sanshaya Prasadam Nebhire Gopi Yattat Papya Vimuktidat. Quoting from Shukadeva Goswami, how Yashoda, she got so much mercy from Krishna, even more than Brahma or Shiva, or even more than Lakshmi, who's always on the chest of Lord Vishnu, that she was able to tie up Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Satya Agekha. This is true. Say some more. And Ramananda Roy said, well, I never found anyone else who ever asked such questions before. Then he went on to describe so many things. What is the position of Radharani? That even all Krishna was surrounded by so many gopis, who even one of them would make your so-called Miss World look like an old duck. And Krishna was surrounded by millions of gopis, and he gave them all up for the sake of Srimati Radharani. So this is the what is being taught in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yudhishthira Maharaj's teaching, that Krishna, he's equal to all, but he's looking for where is the love. I'm not simply come here to bless you, all right, bless you this, bless you that, take a blessing, kill a demon. Krishna is doing all these things. But he's especially looking to see how much we are interested in loving him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach this. Prabhupada gave the example that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like a teacher at school, writes on the board A, B, C. Not that he is also learning. He knows very well, but he's teaching us by his personal example. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also chanting his rounds. We also have to do inoffensively, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Shadana Madde Srishta Naravidha Bhakti Krishna Prem Krishna Dite Dhare Mahashakti Tarmade Sarva Srishta Nama Sankirtan Niraparadhi Nam Loyalai Pai Prema Dhan. That among all the methods of devotional service, the nine methods beginning Shravanam Kirtanam, they are the topmost, they're the best. And if one performs these without offenses, then you will very easily get Krishna prem and get Krishna. And among all these, the best is Nam Sankirtan, by performing without any offense, one can get love of Krishna very easily. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us. He's personally chanting the holy names, relishing the holy names, which is meant to bring us to the point of love of Krishna, as is described here by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just 1 second. Krishna? Millions of gopis. Gave up means he left their... Krishna gave up millions of gopis. He left their association to search out... Or he went with Srimati Radharani. So this just shows her position, that the gopis are the topmost devotees, but Krishna left them all for the sake of Radharani. For the sake of Srimati Radharani. So this is just to show what is the greatness of Radharani. Some indication. Shaka Chandra Nyaya. Just like you see the moon through the branches of a tree. It's some indication. We can't understand how As Uddhav said, or was that no Brahma? He said that he cannot even understand the greatness of even a speck of dust in Vrindavan. So what to speak of the gopis and what to speak of Radharani? Which also indicates that you shouldn't artificially try to jump into such a position. Although we're philosophically discussing what is that position, for the sake of setting our aim, this is where we want to go. We want to give up all material desires and go to the spiritual world with Krishna, to the land of love. But at the same time, we should understand that we can't artificially go there. We have to actually develop that love which means to become free from all material desires. Where's Bharat? Is he there? Huh? Can you get my books? There are so many devotees who I need that. I think Chittahari, if he's here, the Brahmachari books will be there. So I have those Tamil books also. Then. Well, we have another question here.
Krishna is considered to be our Supreme Father. Here in the material world, Father doesn't allow his son to perform any disgraceful activities. And Krishna is how is that?
Krishna is considered to be our Supreme Father, and actually he is. Pita Hamasya Jagata, he is the father of the whole universe. Now in this material world, our father won't allow us to perform any wrong activity. Generally it is so. Although actually most of the fathers are engaging their sons in the wrong activities by not engaging them in Krishna consciousness. So generally the father will not allow the son to perform wrong activities. But if the son is absolutely obstinate, the father may give him good advice, but if the son is absolutely obstinate, then what he can do? So we are like that. Krishna is giving us good advice, but we are obstinate. We don't like to follow Krishna's advice. This first... Oh, I see.
Love
is what? Love is the same. Love is one vastu, one tattva, one phenomenon, I guess you would say in English. But how does it manifest in Shantarati, Dasyarati? Yeah, well, that's described again. I've just been reading this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's described that it's of the same love, means that is the manifestation of Krishna's Haladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. So it's of the same nature. The example is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just like sugar is sweet, but still sugar is manifested in different forms. If you take the sugar cane, you can chew it. It will be sweet. But if you take out the sugar cane juice, it's the same sugar in the juice, but it's more concentrated. Then you can prepare gur, which is even more concentrated. And then there are various levels of Mishri and this. Mishri, you know? You say in Tamil also? Mishri. Then you get granules, sarkara, sugar candy. And then again, if you mix that with milk, and you put some anna, boil it, and you put some elachi, different things, kesar, kishmish, and it becomes very nice. Is it agreed? So like that, the essence of bhakti is like that. It's sweet. but it's manifested in different degrees. In Shantaras, actually, there's not much sweetness. Sweetness begins when one begins to serve Krishna, Dasyas, but it's more intense. I'm quoting quite often these things. I quoted it last time I was here. Chaitanya Leela Amritapur, Krishna Leela Shukarpur, Duhe Nili, Hoi Sumadhurjam. Guru Sadhu Prasade, Taha Jaya Sade, Sei Jane, Madhurja Prachurja. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are just like nectar. And Krishna's pastimes is like very fine camphor. So if you mix them together, it becomes very sweet and very flavorsome and very nice. So that's just like that sweet rice. You make rice. So do you like to take sweet rice? Means with milk, amrita. But actually we should only take Krishna Prasad. So you don't take it from non-devotees. You have to take Prasad, and even better if you take Sadhu and Guru Prasad. Means they will enjoy Krishna Leela and then they will give to you. So Sadhu Guru Prasade Taha Jai Asha. If you taste that as the Prasad, means you hear it from sadhus and gurus, then you can understand what is Madhurja Prachurja, means much sweetness, very great sweetness. So like that. The pastimes of Krishna, they're like a great ocean. So we cannot cross the ocean. But we can enjoy swimming in the ocean. The impersonalists, they give the example that all the rivers flow into the sea. So they want to merge with the sea. But the devotees, they are like aquatics in the ocean of the nectar of devotion. They like swimming in the sea. Another example, that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of devotion, is like a great ocean. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like a great ocean. I'm like a little chatak, little sparrow, who is taking a few drops out of the ocean. But even one drop is sufficient to drown the whole world in nectar. So actually Krishna consciousness is very sweet, and material life is very bitter and nasty. So we want to give people what is the nectar for which they're always hankering. People are suffering so much in material life. So devotees seeing them suffering, take this Bhagavad Gita. Understand what you are meant for. You're not meant for suffering. You're meant for enjoying. But this enjoyment in material life is not enjoyment, it is simply suffering. Please come to Krishna. Be happy on the real platform. Come, enjoy the nectar. Utishta, jagrata, prapya param nibodhata, shurasya dhara nishita durakraya, durgam patas tatkavayovadanti. Get up, wake up, attain that which is the real boon of human life. But be careful, don't go to Sai Baba, don't get cheated. Spiritual life is like a razor's edge. We have to practice it very carefully, otherwise we'll be cheated. So, Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.